Hi, this is Chuck Mangione, and when I'm in Stony Brook, New York, I listen to WUSB 90.1 on your FM dial.
I can't remember the last time he was in Stony Brook, but I'm sure when he's here next time, he'll make sure to tune to 90.1, which is where you have tuned to, whether it's by accident or on purpose. It's WUSB Stony Brook time for Off the Wall. And, of course, the biggest problem we always have here at this radio program is that there just isn't enough time to cover all the things we want to cover. There's all kinds of features and things we start to do that we don't wind up finishing. Every week it's the same problem, and it just keeps dragging out longer and longer. We still haven't finished going through the slides from last summer. But, you know, we don't have time for that this week either because it's just so much going on, so many things to talk about. We have Tommy Chong tribute that we have to pay. And, you know, they just keep adding up. Let's do the Tommy Chong thing because we didn't do one last week. And he's still languishing in prison for selling bongs on the Internet. As soon as he gets out, we can stop playing these things and then people can just buy the CDs and play them at home. Anyway, be careful. Talking about bongs can get you in trouble these days. The word bong. So we're going to avoid saying bong and talking about bongs and playing things about bongs and encouraging people to sell bongs on the Internet for whatever purposes that they might want to use them for. Remember, all drugs are bad. All people who smoke drugs are bad or take drugs anyway are bad. Merely considering anything having to do with drugs is a crime these days. That's right, drugs. They're worse than murder. They're worse than anything that you could wind up in prison, because you have all kinds of mandatory sentencing involving drugs. You don't have mandatory sentencing involving other crimes. And that's because it's such a bad thing, and I don't know if I've emphasized that enough. If not, I can emphasize some more later on, and we can play some public service announcements and get it into your mind a little bit more. In any event, here is that sinner, Tommy Chong, before he was locked away for the good of all of us. And here he is again, extolling the virtues, as it were, of certain drugs. We'll be right back.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is
bad as weed.
Cut. How'd that sound to you?
Hey, man, that was far out, man. We gotta cut.
Yeah, that sounded pretty good to me. I think we can wrap it up.
Oh, I ain't know, man. No, I want to do it again, man.
Again?
Yeah, man, like I had a thing to do, you know, when you talk, man, when a cat talks, I got a thing to say, man. I was going to say it, but I forgot it, man.
You want to do it again?
Yeah, man, let's do it again.
Okay, all right.
Hold it, give me a joint, man. Give me another joint.
Here you are.
Okay, far out, man. Okay, we'll get it right this time.
Yeah.
Man.
All right, let's try it again, huh?
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Acapulco Gold filters, take 403.
Now, this is some bad weed.
Hi there, folks. Smoking more now but getting high less? Try new Acapulco Gold filters, regular and menthol. Acapulco Gold, just a stony, 3 hits longer. And be sure to save the groovy coupons on the back. How do you think I got this? Out of sight hash pipe. But don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Ashley Roachcliffe of the Jefferson Hair Pie has to say.
Hey, Hey, that's right, man. You know, I really, man, I think the cat's really telling you where it's at, man. Now, man, I'm going to tell you, every time I lay some of this gold on my friends, man, they light it up, man, and they just take one toke, man, and they look at me and say, Roach, this weed's a mother.
Oh, now you can't say that in there. You know that's not you. That's not right.
Hey, man, what you want now? Good grammar or good taste?
All right, listen, we'll keep going. Remember, folks, it's Acapulco Gold, the herb superb. Long in the leaf and short in the can. No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is...
bad as weed.
Cut. Listen, we can bleep out that other part. I think it'll be okay.
Hey, that was all right, man. Did you like that video?
Yeah, that one, I loved it. It was good.
Hey, that was wild, man.
That's all right. Okay, good. Listen,
hey,
listen,
hey, no, man. Hold it now. I mean, I dug it now. No, you know, I mean, that was it. I really dug it. That's the one, man.
Yeah.
But there's a thing, man, I want to do with the matches in front, you know. So, hey, can we do it again, man?
Again?
Yeah, man. I want to get this right now.
Yes, from the self-titled Cheech and Chong album. And that was a piece entitled Acapulco Gold Filters. And yes, we had to censor a bit of that. It wasn't easy either because it was very quick. So if you want to hear the uncensored version, listen to your own CD player. Or the internet, wherever you might be able to find this thing. Tommy Chong still locked away. Hopefully somebody will let us know when he's out so we can... regain some of our show. Okay, what's going on in the world? Well, you know, there's another primary today, Wisconsin. Guess who's going to win? Yeah, I know. It's getting kind of boring now. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any sense. By the time it gets to us here in New York, it's already been decided. We don't even have the chance to vote for any of the other candidates. It's not right. It's not right. And I don't understand how Iowa was able to set the tone, but they did. Okay? And it's time we face that fact. I don't like the fact. I don't like the way that this whole thing is set up, but that's the way it is. And someone needs to tell Howard Dean, you know what? You're losing. I mean, listen to the guy. He's well, you know, the voters are the ones to decide, and it's not over yet until everyone's cast their vote. But it's so obvious to everybody everywhere, that he's not going to win. But he can't admit this. Now, if he can't admit something that's so obvious, it's staring him in the face. His own staff are leaving him. You have to wonder, how does this guy deal with reality? I mean, I think he'd actually gain votes if he said, you know what, we're losing. we're in bad shape. That's why I need your help, because we're losing. Not we're going to be taking the White House in November and... I'm still very optimistic. How can you be optimistic? Come on. Let's be honest here. It's a crazy system. I don't know how it works. I don't know how Kerry is ahead everywhere, but he is. That's just the way the facts have played themselves. So, I guess the betting is on as to when Dean's going to drop out. Is going to be after tonight when he loses again in Wisconsin. We all know it's going to happen. Will it be after Super Tuesday? When he loses really super? I don't know. It would just save a lot of time. And plus, you know, the important thing, and he's even said this, the important thing is to get rid of Bush. Okay? No matter what, get rid of Bush. So the longer you have a campaign where you're slinging mud, which is what it's boiling down to, slinging mud, well, the odds are you're going to say something that Bush can use. Remember that whole revolving door thing with Dukakis and how that was used against him by the other Bush? You know, he let some guy out on a weekend furlough and he went out and killed somebody else. Well, that was originally brought up in the primaries, in the debates, the Democratic debates. But it was used against him in the Bush campaign commercials, and that's what everybody remembers. Even though I can't remember the guy's name. But regardless, it's... I guess uniting is the important thing right now. Speaking of uniting, same-sex marriages, boy, that's turned into an issue, hasn't it? I mean, it's always been an issue, but it's kind of weird how it's you know, gotten into this nuclear cloud all of a sudden, and everybody's talking about it. San Francisco, they gave out licenses over the weekend, and hundreds of people lined up, stayed out all night in the rain just to get married. Well, meanwhile, the conservatives are all in an uprage, saying we're going to stop this thing. We're going to pass a constitutional amendment. Now, come on, a constitutional amendment from marriage. What is wrong with these people? First of all, the hypocrisy. You could swim through the hypocrisy. These are the same people that want less government. They want the government off our backs. But they want the government to define marriage. You know, to have a constitutional amendment to define marriage. To protect us. I mean, how do you possibly get through a day saying that you want less government and then at the same time saying you want the government to get involved in something so private? And then the other question is, what is the big deal here? Good God, we're talking about people getting married. How does that, if you are the most conservative, pious person in the world, all right, you've never had an impure thought in your life, and your surroundings and family are just like you, how in the world does somebody who is not like you, who lives by a different set of rules, how are they harming the sanctity of your little world? I mean, are you harming the sanctity of their... Yeah, you are harming the sanctity of their world if you want to control it, if you want to manipulate it, if you want to define it in your terms. I know the majority of Americans don't agree with this right now. Well, you know, that's too bad, because lots of times I don't agree with the majority of Americans. But it's not that much of a majority. Something like 60-40 or something. And I think the gap is closing. You just got to ask yourself, what is the big... Just like everything else we talk about on this show, whether it's, you know, Janet Jackson's breast or same-sex marriages, what is the big deal already? You know, imagine a couple down the block from you gets married and they happen to be the same sex. How in God's name does that affect you? Come on, how does it really affect you? Unless you, you know, poke your nose in other people's business and are obsessed with what they're doing, it should have no effect on you whatsoever. And you should be happy. You should be glad that people of differing backgrounds are embracing these family values. Isn't that what it's all about, the family values? Yeah, well, you know what? They don't want to live in sin. They want to live as a married couple. They're embracing the same values that you are embracing. Just doing it in a different way. Anyway, the challenge to the legality of San Francisco's same-sex marriage licenses moved to another courtroom on this afternoon, actually. After a judge postponed an earlier hearing until Friday, San Francisco Superior Court Judge Ronald Cadacci said there was confusion over the timeliness of the filing by Campaign for California Families and over two different versions of the complaint. What gives them the right to even use the word family and say it only applies to them? What is a family? You're going to have another amendment to define that? He asked attorneys for the city and the Conservative Family Values Group to work together to present the correct documents to the court on Friday. A separate hearing on the same matter will be presented to a different judge Tuesday afternoon, so Friday's hearing could be moot. Lawyers for the city told the judge they had not received the complaint in the proper time frame last week, blah, blah, blah. There's another hearing actually scheduled for right about now. Supreme Court Judge James Warren is supposed to hear that hearing. Nearly 2,500 gay couples have been married in San Francisco since Thursday, 825 in a chilling rain on Monday. And Mayor Gavin Newsom said the marriages would continue until a court stops them. I like it when somebody has enough guts to stand up and say, you know what, we're going to do this. Anyway, judges in each hearing could void the licenses, simply stop granting them, or declare the practice legal. That would be something, wouldn't it? I don't really expect that to happen. But it would be nice if it did. It would be nice if it did. Then we can check in, you know, a year from now and see just how much Western civilization has collapsed. All right. That's what's going on over there. What else is happening? This just in, this is kind of disturbing. The British government is considering a plan to break up the BBC. Yeah, I'm not kidding. And remove its independent status in the wake of a bitter row with the state-funded broadcaster over the Iraq War. And I remember when this whole thing broke a couple of weeks ago with the Hutton inquiry and all that, Tony Blair was saying, you know, all I wanted was the apology. That's all I wanted. Nothing else. You said you were sorry? Okay. You know, I love the BBC. You guys are great. Keep doing what you're doing. But now, oh no, now they're talking about dismantling the BBC because of that. Government papers detailing possible changes to the BBC's structure proposed breaking it into separate regional entities for England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. It's kind of, it's got those divisions anyway. This is according to the Sunday Times. The documents, which the newspaper said had been drawn up by senior civil servants, say that three times fast, also suggested that the job of ensuring the BBC's impartiality could be taken away from the corporation's board of governors. Guess where it's going to land instead? Plans being considered include giving a government media watchdog greater control over the BBC's output, closing BBC outlets which are not considered public service, and even forcing the corporation to share some of its license fee revenue with other broadcasters. Now, such a move would most likely prompt public concern, because unlike over here, the BBC is looked on with very high regard for their independence. Opinion polls after the Hutton inquiry was published showed that many people considered its verdict a whitewash. This is the verdict that pretty much absolved Tony Blair of all guilt as far as sexing up certain documents in the whole Blair administration. People also said they trusted the BBC far more than they did Blair and his ministers. You see, we can't say that here. We can't say that we trust ABC more than we trust Bush. Because when you say that, you're saying you're trusting Disney. What does that really say? We don't have something like the BBC. We don't have an independent voice that's got the guts to stand up and report things that are controversial and against the government. No, we don't do that here. All we do is get outraged at nipples. Well, okay, you want to get outraged at something? I want to get outraged at this. You heard that Microsoft had some source code leaked in the past week. No, I had nothing to do with it. I don't know anybody who had anything to do with it. Stop asking, okay? It doesn't take much to leak something. You just have to have access to it. You can leak it. But anyway, it's all over the place. I won't say if I've looked at it. I won't say if I even care. The fact is, it's out there, and it's being passed all over the place. But the source code is apparently riddled with profanity. That's right. Profanity is in Windows NT and Windows 2000 software. The same software that you might be running on the computers that your children use. Profanity. Now, you can't read the profanity because it's a source code. You have to have the source code. When it's compiled, it's all gibberish. But it's still in there. Those words are still in there in some form. Even if it's a comment line, it's there, okay? It's in the soul of the program. It's in my house. And I cannot tell you how much it disgusts me to think of those words residing on my computer in any form. And I just want to know what they're going to do about it, what the authorities will do about this. Oh, they're busy crying about Microsoft losing their source code and revenue and that kind of thing. What about the moral issues here? Who's speaking about those? I can handle seeing the occasional breast on TV, but this kind of obscenity, well, it's something that needs to be addressed. That's some of the craziness that's going on. There's all kinds of things hidden in there. I guess, you know, if you have a few days to spend looking through source code, you can find all kinds of interesting things. Who knows? Maybe there's a secret Al-Qaeda communications network in there. That's some of the news coming out of the technology world. What else? On the front page of CNN today was a rather interesting story. Polaroid warns buyers not to shake it. Yeah. On the front page, no less. This is basically a corporate advertisement. So that Polaroid, because they change the way that they handle developing film. Used to be that you'd get a picture out of a Polaroid camera and you'd shake it because the air somehow sped up the process. Well, The instant camera maker is warning consumers that taking the advice of the hip-hop stars Outkast, who say, shake it like a Polaroid picture, well, that could actually ruin your snapshots. That's right. Outkast's number one hit, Hey Ya, includes the shake it line as a reference to the motion that amateur photographers use to help along the self-developing film. But in the answers section on the Polaroid website, the company says that shaking photos, which once helped them to dry, is not necessary, since the modern version of Polaroid film dries behind a clear plastic window. The image never touches air, so shaking or waving has no effect, the company said on its site. In fact, shaking or waving can actually damage the image. Rapid movement during development can cause portions of the film to separate prematurely or can cause blobs in the picture. Blobs in the picture! Why is this on the front page of CNN, for God's sake? Polaroid changes the way they develop film, and all of a sudden that's a news story. You know what it is? It's saving Polaroid money, because outraged consumers are going to get upset that they have blobs on their pictures, and they're going to come crying to Polaroid. But now, by putting it on the front page of a well-trafficked news site, they can save themselves some of that. I don't know. I just think there might be a little bit more important things to worry about than Polaroid pictures. Okay, what else? We have some listener mail I'd like to read. And of course, we are going to take phone calls in a little while. We mentioned this last week on the other show, just to get back into the news for a second, The Janet Jackson thing was TiVo's most replayed moment ever. And, of course, that's launched a whole other controversy about TiVo, TiVo being the DVR machines that allow people to record things onto hard drives instead of tapes and rewind and pause and do all kinds of things. But a lot of people don't know because they don't read the agreements. Is that TiVo has the ability, when they do that nightly phone call, they can look at what you're doing, what you're watching, what you're recording, what you're saving, what you're pausing, what you're rewinding and fast-forwarding, the commercials you skip, the kinds of programs that you record. You know, you can make certain categories. You can make your TiVo record certain categories. For instance, you can record only R-rated films. You can record or just have on a wish list only things that have violence. You know, there's even, I don't know if you look at this, there are certain one or two letter indications as to what is in a film or a TV show. There's one for dialogue, there's one for violence, there's one for sexual content, there's, I think, one for strong sexual content, too. There's also one for rape. Yeah, that's not used very often, but it's there. Now, imagine, just to theorize for a moment here, somebody sets that as the flag of the kinds of things that they want to record. Well, you know, that's something TiVo could actually look at and say, wow, this person has an unusual interest in that. Maybe the authorities should be alerted. Did you know that? Did you know that that is even a remote possibility? Oh, sure, TiVo says that they don't share this information. But, you know, if Homeland Security came to them and said, hey, we got a potential terrorist here, and we think we can track him based on what he's watching on television, I think they'd be convinced pretty quickly to turn that over. It's something to really keep in mind. It's not just watching TV anymore, it's watching you. And we got a lot of feedback on what we were talking about last week with the whole Janet Jackson thing. Dear Manuel, I heard your comments on Off the Wall about the Super Bowl halftime thing. All I can say is the fact that anyone cares is another example of how immature Americans are in general. If this was on television in Europe, needless to say, no one would care. Just makes me shake my head. I believe you, my head is has been shaking nonstop. This is something I pulled off a Usenet group. This person writes, I live in Spain, and some months ago in a talk show at about 5 in the afternoon, when they were talking about transsexuals, a girl, well, actually a man who had gender change surgery, had the funny idea of showing us the results. Yeah, so she raised her skirt, and she had no underwear. The presenter laughed, and the cameraman changed where the camera was pointing. End of the problem. Nobody said a word more about this. No more scandal, No politicians complaining. No children were traumatized, and this was at 5 p.m. Spain. Now, what is it? I mean, you know, is the rest of the world insane, or are we just obsessed with this kind of nonsense? Was it inappropriate in the Super Bowl? Yeah, it was inappropriate. But you know what? That's what you say. You say, that was inappropriate. They shouldn't book people like that again. If they do, I'm not going to watch. What's the big deal? And why do I have to always be saying that? Football being a family time. Well, how about this? Okay, this is on the Sports Illustrated site. If you thought Colorado football recruiting parties were jailbreaks, brace yourself for the allegations made by the only woman ever to play on the team. As a CU place kicker in 1999, Katie Nida, I think that's how you pronounce it, never saw her name spelled H-N-I-D-A before, she says she endured a kind of sexual hell you can't imagine after being verbally abused and molested by teammates. She said she was raped by one of them. On her first day of practice, Nida found out how welcome she was. She says five teammates surrounded her and verbally abused her, making sexually graphic comments. During the season, players expose themselves to her at least five times. She says they go, "Hey, Katie, check this out." One player came up from behind, she says, and rubbed his erect penis against her. Sometimes when the entire team was huddled up, she said players stuck their hands on her crotch or groped her breasts under her shoulder pads. She endured more abuse than one person should have to bear, former teammate Justin Bates says. Even as she practiced, players called her vulgar names, and one fired footballs at her head. The worst was yet to come. One summer night, Nida was watching TV at the house of a teammate. "He just starts to kiss me," she recalls. "I told him that's not okay. Next thing I know, he's on top of me. I told him no, but he just kept going. I tried to push him off me, but he outweighed me by 100 pounds. She says he lifted her skirt, pushed aside her panties, and penetrated her. She was a virgin. The phone rang. He reached for it. She slipped out from under him and ran. Now, first of all, you're reading about football. Okay, this is in the sports section. I think we can dispel the myth that football is just for family fun. All right, this kind of story comes out, and I can't say I'm surprised. The only thing I'm surprised about is that there were female football players in Colorado to start with. But this kind of thing, you read stories like this a lot more than you should, relating to sports. It's not a family thing, okay? There's a lot of messed up stuff going on out there. Should we pretend it doesn't exist? No, we shouldn't pretend it doesn't exist. We should focus on it and try to solve the problems. But these people that that are all in shock over what happened at halftime because they were watching this family event. Well, think about what you're watching. You're watching people basically killing each other for however long a football game is. You're seeing all kinds of commercials for erectile dysfunction, and you're seeing scantily clad cheerleaders. Yeah, it was still, the breast was inappropriate, but get over it already. It's not that out of place. And they probably won't ever do it again, so you can relax. All right, continuing with some letters here. I was listening to the archive of the Tuesday evening show last Tuesday. I just wanted to voice an opinion. It amazes me that America is so blind to the incident. All the talk has been about the exposure of Janet's breast. However, I feel people should be focusing on the fact that Viacom and MTV lied to the public. First, they stated that it wasn't planned and that they were sorry. Then they came out and stated it wasn't premeditated and that they were sorry. Sure, some may be offended by seeing her breast, but come on, any individual by the age of 5 knows what a boob is. God forbid if humans have sexual thoughts. The other question is, how much do they actually know? You know, it's not Watergate. All right? I think they've learned that this kind of thing doesn't go over too well and that they're not going to do it again. There's talk that licenses may be revoked and stations fined, and that lunatic at the FCC is just going around threatening everybody. That's the real threat, I think. When you have people imposing morality, you have this this chilling factor where there's all kinds of censorship that would not normally exist, and people are just playing it safe. It's the worst kind of censorship there is, a self-censorship. And here's another example of how that is. This came in a letter from our own Jerry Reamer. Hey, Jerry, how you doing? one of the voices of WUSB that's been here for years and really is one of the better shows on Saturdays. Mondays, too, I believe, right? Yeah, I have to check the schedule, WUSB.FM. I got to listen more myself. Anyway, I heard the end of yesterday's show as I came home from work. Two thoughts. I heard that Bono and Jennifer Lopez were supposed to perform, but when they proposed, this is at the Super Bowl, when they proposed singing an American Prayer, which is a song about the worldwide AIDS crisis, they were told it was completely inappropriate for a family show. A family show where football players are trying to kill each other, and you have all this other crap going on. Something mentioning a real crisis facing the world. Now, that's inappropriate. Anyway, they withdrew as a result of that. And as to Amsterdam police, we were talking about differing kinds of commercials over there that actually mock the police. There was a wonderful series of books by Jan Willem van der Wettering. He has four names. Boy. Some people only have one. Some people like Bono only have one name. He has four. Goes to show the inequities in the world. Anyway, it showed the comic and zen side of Dutch police work. I can see his character, De Geer, laughing at that ad. And finally, this person writes in a quick comment on Gitmo. We were talking about that a few weeks ago. Guantanamo Bay, how it's called Gitmo in mass media and apparently in the military as well. I'm an Air Force veteran, and we also call Guantanamo Gitmo. And forgive me if someone has already presented this theory. It's a monolingual thing. When people who speak only one language see a foreign word, their brain shorts out, and a lot of time before they even give an honest effort, they Americanize it. People in large metropolitan areas and the desert Southwest are used to multiple languages and are a little more open-minded to pronouncing weird-looking words. Another thing is that in the military, because of the delicate nature of the mission, you have to keep things simple to avoid confusion, so that the 18-year-old enlisted person or the commander-in-chief can understand what's going on. Of course, given the current executive leader, there might not be much of a difference. Sorry, I couldn't refuse. And for your own protection, I'm not going to read your name. You know, it's something, though. I talk to a lot of people in the military. I talk to people on IRC in the military all the time. They're in Iraq. Yeah, they're in Iraq. And I don't know if people have become aware of this. I imagine almost everybody has. But there's connectivity over there. People can send instant messages. They can send email. They can start their own websites and visit your websites. And they can talk in internet relay chat. And I've had conversations with a number of people. And they all seem to have the same feeling about Bush. I know a lot of people didn't respect Clinton when they were in the military because, well, he lied, even though what he lied about was ridiculous. But supposedly that undermined morality. And, actually, not morality, but morale. Yeah, it undermined morale in the military. This, though, is based more on just overall competence. And I found that virtually everybody I've talked to over there has no confidence in the president, and that's not a good thing. That's not because, you know, he lied about who he had sex with. It's because the guy really doesn't comprehend what's going on, because he's sending people into wars that make no sense. It's like, you know, one of those films where you switch places with your dad, and you become the grown-up, and he becomes the kid. Somebody should check, does Bush have any sons? Maybe one of them is, like, you know, really mature now. No. Looking at Bush's history, that's impossible. But the point is, the people over there don't have faith in the leadership, and that's a bad thing. Yeah, they're carrying out the orders. They're doing as best a job they can, but I think deep down, a lot of people know it doesn't really add up. But it is interesting, and if you're in Iraq, please send us email, otw@2600.com. I'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear from Iraqi citizens, but I don't think they have the same kind of connectivity, unfortunately. All right. Well, yesterday was a holiday, which means today feels like Monday. I almost didn't come in today because today felt like Monday. I almost did what I do on Mondays instead of what I do on Tuesdays, because I didn't do what I do on Mondays yesterday because yesterday was like a Sunday. Interesting, too. Did you know why everybody had off yet? There was no mail delivery. I think banks were closed. Trains were running on Sunday schedules. You know what it was all? Did people even know what the holiday was? Does it even matter to you? I think that's kind of sad. Because most people don't know. Well, I'll tell you then. This is an educational radio station, and I'll educate people as to what yesterday was all about. Yesterday was the 62nd birthday of North Korea's Kim Jong-il, the supreme commander of North Korea. I don't know why it was a holiday here. I mean, you know, obviously, the only right thing to do is to have off on that day, but maybe it was a concession type of a thing from the Bush administration to give people a day off on Kim Jong-il's special day. But I saw hardly any mention of it in the newspapers or on TV, and people seem to sort of just blind themselves to the fact that this was why it was a holiday. Yeah. And I don't know, it's like, you know, Howard Dean blinding himself to the fact that he's losing. You know, we had off yesterday, it was a great holiday, and it's because of Kim Jong-il that we were off. I mean, it's obvious, right? I mean, what other reason would there be? North Korea celebrated Kim Jong-il's 62nd birthday on Monday with fireworks, flowers blooming in his honor, and vows of loyalty to the man whose autocratic rule of the world's most isolated country relies on a cult of personality. This is from the Associated Press. North Koreans took pilgrimages to the sacred camp of Mount Paektu, a holy land of the revolution where Kim Jong-il was born. That was according to the Communist Nation's official news agency, KCNA. Horticulturists. This is good, okay? See if we can pull that off here. Horticulturists timed the blossoming of a flower named for Kim. The Kim Jong-ilia. I'm not kidding. There's a flower called the Kim Jong-ilia. They timed the blossoming to coincide with the February 16th date. Isn't it kind of cold up there now, North Korea? Well, anyway, they did it somehow. The flowers are in full bloom, likely to express reverence for the peerlessly great man at all exhibition places in Pyongyang. That's according to their news agency. On the television, footage showed firecrackers cascading in the sky over the purported birthplace while North Koreans bundled up in Mao-style uniforms and cheered. Independent historians say Kim actually was born near Vladivostok in Russia's Far East, but that regime propaganda scribes designated Paektu, a famous mountain on the Chinese border, as the birthplace to hype his mythic stature. Well, the whole country is now in a festive mood, KCNA said. Servicemen of the Korean People's Army, working people of all strata, and school youth and children are taking a vow of loyalty to uphold his Revolutionary Army First leadership to the end. I don't know when the end is, but they're going to the end. Anyway, as we all know, Kim took over the communist regime after his father, late president and North Korean founder Kim Il-sung, died in 1994. And what's he called? Kim Il-sung? He's the dear leader. Do you know this? Kim Jong-il is the great leader. Kim Il-sung, even though he's departed, he is still the dear leader. Anyway, he died in 1994. And as Kim Jong-il came to power, the North slid deeper into an economic chaos that killed hundreds of thousands of people in famine. Yeah, always the famine. Always bringing out the famine. You can't let a guy have one special day for himself. It's his 62nd birthday, right? Always got to be bringing up the famine and the negative things going on. People dying and death camps and speech control and all kinds of things like that. Anyway, since then, the nation has celebrated the junior Kim's birthday as the country's greatest holiday with symposia, exhibitions, films, and concerts. Newspapers run full-page editorials exhorting the hunger-stricken population to stay loyal to Kim. No military threats and crafty and consistent psychological plots of the imperialists can foil our cause, destroy our system, and infringe upon the sovereignty of the Korean nation. And people are analyzing that statement as being a shot at the United States. You know, this guy, he's described by North Korean publications as a Renaissance man. He's flown fighter aircraft. Sound familiar? not as a photo shoot, though. He's written operas. He's written books. And get this. And this is a fact, because it's reported in North Korean media. He shot 11 holes in one in his first try at golf. 11 holes in one in his first try at golf. I mean, if this guy wasn't, you know, leader of North Korea, he'd be, you know, he'd be beating Tiger Woods. That's amazing. This guy should be on tour. I think we should do something about this. I mean, you know, it upsets me that this holiday goes by. You know, we take advantage of the sales. We don't go to school. We don't go to the bank and get our mail. And everybody relaxes and kicks their feet up and does whatever they do. But I asked around, and not a single person took time and paid tribute to Kim Jong-il yesterday. Well, I'm going to put an end to that right now. I don't know if we're allowed to do this, but we're going to try anyway. Yes, we have our dial tone here. Those of you who listened to this radio station in years past might remember that we used to try to call Albania all the time, and it used to be impossible to call Albania. Now, of course, it is possible. People call Albania all the time, but back then you weren't allowed to call Albania from the United States. I had to go to Canada to make a call to Albania. I don't know if the case holds true here to North Korea, but we have a phone number over there. And no, we're not going to wake them up in the middle of the night. I think it's 9 o'clock in the morning where they are. So what we're going to do is give a call to one of the few embassies that are over there and see if they can simply pass along the greetings that our country forgot to pass along yesterday on this great holiday. We may succeed, we may not, but we'll certainly be in the focus of every single intelligence agency ever formed. All right, let's... and if this call does go through, of course, I will reimburse the radio station, so if anybody's worried about that, don't be. I'm curious how much it costs. Country code for North Korea, 850. Never called this before. This is the first time ever I've done this. And I just hope the people over there speak English. I think they might. Oh, look at that. It's blocked. I'm going to try it again because I was dialing kind of slow. Whatever phone company we use here at Stony Brook apparently blocks calls to North Korea. Yep, immediately. They know. So I've been defeated, apparently. I'm not able to call North Korea. Yeah, okay. You thought I'd give up that easily? No. Fine, we'll call a special number that allows me to enter my own access code. Now I don't have to worry about reimbursing the radio station.
Please dial your PIN or extension number. Por favor, marque su número de seguridad o número de extensión.
He sounds like a computer, but he's actually a human. All right, I'm going to dial my special number. Which I save for emergencies.
Please dial your phone number followed by the pound key. Please dial your phone number followed by the pound key.
I heard you the first
Please
time.
Dial your
Will
phone
you shut up already?
Followed by the pound key. Please dial
Boy,
your phone
you're
number
annoying.
Followed by the...
Okay.
Please wait while we dial your phone number.
That's a third person, isn't it? All right, let's see what happens. Taking a long time to process, but we might hear a ring in North Korea. Oh, what's this? How about that? It really is 9 in the morning there.
Your call was not completed.
Oh.
Please dial your phone number followed by the pound key.
What, four rings? You going to give up that easily? Let's try it one more time, then we'll take some phone calls. 631-632-WUSB. I think I have a new quest here. We got to deal with these.
Please dial your PIN or extension number.
Okay, let's see if we can do it a little faster this time.
Please dial your phone number followed by the pound key. Please dial your...
Yeah. Incidentally, we're calling the Swedish embassy, which is where people who are...
Please wait while we dial your phone number.
English or American or any English-speaking country, they're told to call the Swedish embassy if they somehow get in trouble in North Korea. And that's if you somehow manage to go over there. Question I like to ask people, would you go over there if you had the opportunity? I would. I'd love to see the place. But everybody I know is too scared to go. But you have to see, you know, different places, different ways of doing things. You have to try and understand what's going on. Sure, you can pass judgment and all kinds of things like that, but why be afraid? And why not go someplace because you're too spooked out? There's a collection of books.
Your call was not completed.
All right. There's a collection of books, pamphlets, videotapes that you can get from North Korea. Some of them have titles that are simply unbelievable, such as "The Youth Should Be Dependable Heirs to the Revolutionary Cause," or "On Our Country's Experiences in the Solution of the Rural Question," or one of my favorites, "Let Us Step Up Socialist Construction Under the Banner of the Juche Idea." I'm not sure what Juche is, but it's one of the ones written by Kim Il-sung. This guy wrote more books than anybody in the world, apparently. "Let Us March Forward Dynamically Along the Road of Socialism and Communism Under the Unfurled Banner of Anti-Imperialist Struggle." Yeah, you can get that in Japanese, French, Russian, German, or Arabic. They have videotapes as well. Biographies, all kinds of things. I just might get some of these. Of course, I'll be on everybody's list then. But why not? Why not see what it is these people are saying and probably get some good sound bites at the same time? There's Korean short stories, historical references. Well, I'll read a couple of them as we go along. 631-632-WUSB. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Bernie?
Bernie? There's no Bernie here.
Is
it Emmanuel? Are you calling to be on the air?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, you're on the air, so speak your mind.
Oh, okay. About the caucus.
Yes.
Easy way of solving it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, every state takes care of it. Just like we do on November, you know, the second Tuesday of November.
So what kind of a system would you advocate?
Well, you know, as it is right now, a caucus, but, you know, instead of, well, like Iowa, which is where I'm from, you know, we do it first and then goes to the other states, just have it all at once, all on the same day,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that way, you know, it's basically winner takes all.
That's a good idea. I don't know why. I can imagine they don't do it that way because the politicians wouldn't be able to campaign in all those places at once. But is that really necessary? You know?
Well, I think it is. You know, I talk to people who don't vote, yet they're one of the biggest complainers mm-hmm. about, you know, taxes and this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
And I say, you know, I ask them, did you vote in the last election? No. Then you have no right to complain. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we can get it to, you know, one day, you know, say the third Monday or Tuesday of February, you know, that will give them the candidates, you know, after that.
Right.
You know, from then until November to, you know, get their point across to the, you know, general public, you know, whoever is the winner.
Well, I like the idea, I have to say, and I think it's a bit more fair. And, you know, nothing against you guys in Iowa, but you seem to make all the decisions, you know. If Dean had won, I think he'd be the front runner now if he had run in Iowa. So, thanks a lot.
I actually, you know, switch party affiliation just so I could be a to try and vote for Dean, but we did not have enough people to make a what they call a viable group.
Uh-huh. So you had to force your allegiance to Kerry. Is that how it worked?
No. According to the rules, I went undecided, and that's where I'd still be at. Let's say Dean did win some people in Iowa or in my county. They, on the county level, when we do our caucus to go to the state and then state, the federal, on the county side, the ones that wanted Dean, the first vote, they have to vote Dean. That's, according to the Roberts rules of order right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they can vote for whoever they want.
Interesting system. It is interesting, but, I agree it would be fairer if everybody got to do it at the same time. And maybe we'd have some interesting results that way. Anyway, thanks for your call.
Yeah, talk to you later.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Good evening, Huron. Go ahead.
I was calling asking about last week. I was really wondering if station WUSB happened to get fined from that caller who happened to say two certain words.
Oh, well, yeah, that kind of thing does happen on a live call-in show, but if you take steps to stop it, that's historically been what the FCC requires. What I'm seeing is, kind of a hysterical reaction where people, certain people who tend to influence policy far more than they should, want stations, I guess, not to have live events anymore, not to have live football games or, live call-in shows or things like that. It's something that has everybody, pretty nervous. So, you got to watch that.
With just swear words, I think one of the problems that this country just doesn't real well, I can't really say this country because right now I'm in Vancouver.
Okay.
I am from the U.S., and there, people just think that these words are inherently bad and that just saying them somehow causes a detriment or just the presence of the words. Whereas I've noticed just coming here, all those words, curse words, whatever, they're just kind of seen as a normal part of the vernacular, and they're not something that people just get really uptight and offended about.
Yeah, and if they are used, I think it kind of degrades whatever argument you're trying to make. You sort of define yourself in the eyes of the people listening to you, which is, why I personally would not choose to use those kind of words on the radio. But everybody knows what the words are. It's not like we're keeping secrets from people. Kids know those words more than anybody. And by making something forbidden, you tend to make it more desirable. It's a really silly way to deal with the situation, and it just winds up stifling all kinds of creativity as well. Anyway, thanks for your call.
No problem. Bye. Right.
And call from Vancouver or call from Iowa. That's not bad. 631-632 WUSB. Of course, we welcome calls from North Korea so that we could wish somebody happy birthday for Kim Jong-il. Apparently, four rings is too much for the service that we were trying to get out. It's more than we can get here at Stony Brook, though. We can't get out at all to North Korea. If there's anyone out there who can call North Korea, will you please pass along our regards? We're not going to talk about the famine. We're not going to talk about the misery and all that kind of, there's a time and a place for that. Just want to say happy birthday to the guy. 11 holes in one in his first try at golf. You got to respect that. Little manners? All right. Some cartoons from North Korea, which I'm thinking of getting also. This is supposed to be really good. Clever Raccoon Dog is a 12-part cartoon series. Clever Raccoon Dog. Boy, it just makes me laugh saying that. And then there's Squirrels and Hedgehogs is another classic over there. Prince Hodong and Princess of Ratnang. Boy General. Not sure what that's all about. A Butterfly and a Cock. The Boy Comes on Tiger Back. A Hedgehog Defeats a Tiger and other three pieces. Not quite sure what that means. okay, you get the idea. This is some class material here. And half of it's on NTSC and half of it's on PAL. I don't know why. All right. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up? This is Frank from Houston. I was just calling earlier about somebody was saying about profanity. I'm 17-year-old myself, and I've gotten into quite some trouble at school about profanity. I've kind of controlled the situation myself.
Well, without being too specific, can you tell us what happened?
Basically, I got really irritated in the middle of class, and I kind of said some words that I didn't even realize I said it. I was kind of heated at the moment, and everybody kind of just gave me this look, and I was like, what happened? I mean, just the way that they handled the situation almost made me feel like I had just killed somebody or degraded the whole school in a way. So they sent me to the office. I got in trouble dearly for it. I had to fill out a whole packet about using profanity, and it's kind of just made me wonder, like, what is? I mean, like, it's just English language, right? So, I mean, what's happening here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I could see people being upset at, abusive-type language being used in a certain setting. But I'd be curious to see what that pamphlet contained, like the kinds of, rules for proper use or whatever they told you. People's reactions are really, you know, off the scale sometimes.
Right. I mean, I watched Freedom Downtime last night.
Oh, really?
I mean, it was the first time I ever heard you use profanity.
Well,
and
the first place.
I mean, in a not-so-crude manner. I mean, it seemed it was pretty, you know, given for the situation. And that's just like, I mean, you being one of the role models for kids my age, at least in this field of study or whatever.
God help you. God help you.
it's one of those things that carry me on. Just one little question here.
Uh-huh.
I feel like your name was used in the movie Hackers before that was made back in 94.
All right, just to set this straight for once and for all, yes, I was part of the production team of the film Hackers, and they used the name Emmanuel Goldstein as sort of an inside joke. I've had people say to me, why did you name yourself after the character in Hackers? Well, the film came out 10 years after I took on the name Emmanuel Goldstein.
That's just hilarious. I just now realized that, like, Saturday, and I was just freaking out. Because I had never caught it before. I've seen the film like 10 times. So I just wanted to run that by you, and I'm sorry to like suck up any time on the air.
No, that's
so I just wanted to say my 2 cents, and I guess I'll let you go.
All right, thanks very much for calling, and good luck with everything. Speaking of Freedom Downtime, which is the documentary that we made on the whole Kevin Mitnick story, that will be coming out on DVD not too far in the future. We're working on it right now, and boy, there's a lot of interesting things going on there. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. I want to thank everybody for calling, for listening. Of course, we'll be back on next week, same time, same place, tomorrow night on WBAI and Off the Hook. And you can write to us, otw@2600.com. You can hear an archived version of this program, www.2600.com/off-the-wall. And what else do I have to say? I guess that's pretty much it. Again, happy birthday, props, Kim Jong-il. We'll see you next week. Good night.